Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships radio broadcast. I'm your host, Pastor Star Williams, and we are in for another episode continuing our series on faith, building our faith. Hope you have enjoyed this series as much as I have, as we are looking into God's Word and really decoding that powerful word, faith, bringing it down to what it means to have faith, to walk in faith in our everyday life. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that does not return void, but it accomplishes everything it sets to accomplish. Thank you, God, for faith in you, that it is powerful, it is effective, God, and that you are teaching us how to grow and more in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today I want us to look at a particular scripture, and that is in the book of James. Let's look at James, and we're going to look at chapter 2. Around verse number 14. And today the Lord has really just put it on my heart to talk about faith and in relationship to action. And when we read James, we can keep in mind that James was written to believers, not unbelievers. And so when he talks about faith, it's not faith for salvation, but it's faith to receive the promises of God that we have in Christ Jesus. So James chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "What does it profit my brethren?" He's saying my brethren again because he's speaking to believers. Brethren, what does it profit if someone says that he has faith but does not have work? Can that faith save him, or can faith save that person? What does it profit him? If a brother or a sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says, "Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled," or in today's terminology, "Oh, God bless you, you know, I'll pray for you," but you don't give them the thing that they need for their body, and what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have work, is dead. Without works, is dead. Just like that previous analogy, an example that he gave. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or credited to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Abraham, also called the father of faith, not just because he had some idea or some just lofty belief about God. No, he was the father of faith because at the word of God, he picked up all of his belongings, his family, and went to a territory and a destination that he did not know where he was going or what he would encounter when he got there. That's why Abraham was called a man of faith, because of what he did. And it goes on to say, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body, catch this, the body without the spirit is dead. You know, when we cease to exist on earth, our spirit will leave our body and we'll just have a corpse. There'll just be a corpse there of you. But just as the body without the spirit is what? Dead. So is, catch this, so is faith without works is also dead. That it's just like that corpse with no spirit, lifeless. It has no, you know, makes no effect. It's just there. It can't move. It's not alive. It's not active. It's not mobile. It's just there. But you know what? When we put our works with our belief and our faith, when our actions line up to what we believe, then something happens. We come alive. Our faith comes alive. So I want you to repeat this after me. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. What does God love? He loves when we put our actions with our belief. When we put our actions with our belief. The previous chapter of James, first chapter, it says, you know, in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Catch this, deceiving yourself. So it doesn't just say be doers of the word, not hearers only, but it says when we're hearers only and we're not doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving or deluding, another word for that, deceiving yourself, is deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror and forgetting what he observes. He goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. That's what it's like to be a hearer only of the word and not a doer of the word. So there is a difference between putting our faith into action. Mm-hmm. And Jesus loves it when we put our faith to action. When we are doers of the word and not just hearers only. You know, we live in a culture in America where it's said that I think over 75% of Americans profess to be Christians. But, you know, when we look at our culture and our society, we are going away from our Christian principles and values by our actions. Our actions are displaying as a nation that America needs to return back to God. America needs an awakening. America needs to return and acknowledge God as her Lord and as her Savior, not just by words, but by action, by, you know, by repentance, by seeking God, by turning from their wicked ways, as it declares in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So what does it profit if someone says he has faith or says he's a Christian or he believes, but he doesn't have the works? Can faith save him? This is so key. I want you to really catch this, because you can distinguish, you know, really real believers from unbelievers. You can distinguish in your own life if you're really walking by faith or not. Are you, is your work there? Are you obeying God's word? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and fulfilled, but you don't give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by it, it does not have works, is dead.
Amen.
What Jesus most prizes in our life is obedience. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the prophet told Saul when God basically rejected him as king. Saul decided he would help God out when God gave him specific instructions on what to do. And the prophet came to Saul and said, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. And Paul, or Saul, actually paid a great price for not obeying God. God requires obedience above everything. So obedience is the gateway and the door for him to work and move in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Being doers of God's word and not hearers only enables the promises that are appropriated in us through Christ to be active. Not just to be there, available, you know, and not released, but it appropriates them, it manifests them in our life when we obey God's word. When we take God's, when we read God's word, we meditate upon it, and we apply it to our life, and we activate it in our own life, that's when God's word becomes alive in us and through us. So when we read God's word, we have to just say, what is God saying to me? What is he wanting me to do? What is he requiring of me to do and to be? In Joshua 4, or Joshua chapter 1, after Moses has died and Joshua was going to lead the people into the promised land, God told him, you know, be careful to do everything in the word that I've commanded you. Then you will, your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. So in other words, God was telling them, him, to meditate on his word day and night, and on that, but do it, walk in it, obey it, and you will be prosperous, and you will have good success. So how do we, how does our faith become active? How do we activate our faith? We each are given a measure of faith, but how do we put it into action? How do we make it effective and powerful, like Jesus, and we can, you know, say to the fig tree, curse the fig tree, and speak to a mountain, and it'll move. Well, we, number one, we have to meditate upon the word of God. We have to read and meditate upon God's word and hide it in our heart. But it doesn't just end there. The second thing is we have to size our faith.
Amen.
We have to do what the word says for us to do. Amen. And just like when you take care of your body, you eat food that is nutritious for you. But if you just eat food, even if it's nutritious, and you don't expend the calories, you're going to gain weight. And you're not going to be healthy. Your muscles will atrophy. Your muscles will distort, and you won't have the shape that you should have. So eating right and exercising is always the prescription the doctor tells us when they're trying to get us healthy. You have to eat right. You have to exercise. Same way with our faith. We have to eat God's word, meditate on God's word, but then we have to exercise our faith. We have to put it into action. And only when we exercise our faith is our faith going to grow. And that comes with doing the word. Being obedient hearers, not just having dead faith, not having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, but having mountain-moving faith, having faith that God had when he created the world, when he spoke it into existence. That's the kind of faith that God is wanting us to have. Faith without works is dead. We have to approach God on his terms according to his word. We can't approach God on our terms and ask God to bless what we want in our life. No, we have to approach him on his terms. And that goes with obeying his word, being stewards of the word and not hearers only. We can confess God's word, but if we have wrong actions, then that will equal faith failures. Confession plus wrong actions will equal faith failure. So we have to have our actions must correspond with our believing if we're going to receive from God. Our actions must correspond with our believing. So if we're believing for healing or manifestation from God, we see it in God's word that his word has promised this, and we believe it. But if we believe it and then we start confessing, you know, sickness or doubt or unbelief, then we're going to nullify God's word. It's not going to be effective in our life. So we have to receive his promises, and then our confession, our action, our confession really begins with our words. But you know, your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits. So I really like to say that when the Bible talks about our confession, or say to this mountain, be thou removed. You know, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, it will come to pass. Now, people may say, well, I say, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. But, you know, really, it's more than that, because your thought is going to become your word, and your word will become your action. So not just saying with your mouth, but acting out that healing, acting out that salvation, walking as if it's already done, walking as if God has already answered the prayer, because, in fact, he already has.
All right.
You just have to make it your own and receive it for yourself and confess it and believe it. So we're not just talking about being, you know, just talking and saying and quoting and just having, you know, a lot of truths rolling around. But it's actually making those our own, professing those as ours, believing that we've received them, not just being talkers, but being doers. There's a difference between being a talker and being a doer of the word. We can talk the word all day, and, you know, we can talk with the best of them. But you know what? What's going to distinguish that person that receives is going to be the one that does the word. So God isn't impressed if we can quote scriptures. He's not impressed if we know the word front and back, that even the devil knows the word. You know, we just read in James 2, it says, you believe there's one God. Well, you know what? Even the demons believe that, and they tremble.
So much for the atheist.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what a demon is, believes God. That God's word believes and trembles that there is one God. But you know what? They're not obeying God. They're rebelling against God. They're antichrist. They're against God. So what distinguishes, you know, even in relationships, don't be impressed by someone who can quote scriptures. That's not a mark of spirituality. A mark of spirituality is what? The fruit. The fruit of the life, the actions, the being doers of the word. See the fruit of someone's life. See the fruit of what they're producing. What are they producing in their life? Is there actions that line up with God's word? That's what impresses God. That's what God honors. Because it says in the scripture, Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Yes.
And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? Are we talkers of the word? Are we doers of the word? Talkers of the word have this mental assent that God's word is true. Mm-hmm. And that Jesus is a good man. He wanted everybody to come and to... You know, no, when it comes down to it, God wants us to do his word. He wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be followers of God, not just, you know, theology is good, but we have to put it into practice in our lives. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It has to become our own. And so when we read God's word, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to quicken ours and to say, what is God wanting me to receive from this? What is he speaking? What is he speaking to me from this scripture that I am to apply to my life? You know, a lot of people read the Bible and it's dark to them. Why is the Bible dark? You know, when people first, unbelievers, they say, well, the Bible is just so, it's just blah. Like they don't understand it. It's boring to them. When they read it, they'll fall asleep. But you know what? To the believer, and when the Holy Spirit is in you, it quickens the word. It becomes alive, and it becomes like food and manna to you, where you read it and you apply it, and God and the Holy Spirit allows you to apply it into your life today in the here and now. The word is alive, but it comes alive with the Spirit of God. And so another reason why when people read the word of God and it just is dark to them, or there's no revelation, we'll say, there's no revelation of God's word, it's because obeying the last thing that God told them to do, so they can't receive anything else from God's word.
Wow.
Until they obey God's word, until they say, you know what, this is something that I am to obey and apply into my life. And when we are becoming obedient hearers and we are becoming doers of God's word, his word becomes alive. It becomes like a light. It becomes like the lamp that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that way for everyone, only those obedient hearers and doers of the word of God. So there's a difference in our life. Faith is meditating on God's word, studying on God's word, and acting upon it. Think about in your life, you know, the times God's moved. Well, it's because you obey God. You've acted upon God's word, not just mentally assented. Faith receives the promised blessing. So don't let anyone say, well, faith doesn't work. God's word is not for today. Don't let anyone say, you know, it's just some old dusty book that you're supposed to sit on the shelf or it has no application for our life today. No, faith is alive. Real faith, true faith, receives the promised blessing. It receives the promised blessing. Faith in God receives, it appropriates what Christ has done for us on the cross. It appropriates it. Don't let anyone tell you that you cannot walk in the promises of God. You can't walk in the fullness of God. You can't walk in the healing and the blessing and the prosperity of God. You know, 1 John says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 10:10. Jesus said, thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. Have life to the full until it overflows, the abundant life. That's what Christ paid for us. That's what his sacrifice and the covenant that he made with us. And so we are to appropriate it by faith. And we do that by approaching God on his terms, according to his word. We approach God on his terms, according to his word. And there's nothing that will be impossible with us. Nothing that is impossible with us. Nothing that is impossible with us through Christ Jesus. Faith always has a corresponding action. Faith always has a corresponding action. There will be something that God shows us there, and there he will direct us. There will be something that will show our faith, our belief, our trust is in the Lord. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and does them will be like him who was a wise man, which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and they blew, and they beat against the house. But it did not fail. It fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man which buildeth house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Well, the rains came, and the floods descended, and the winds beat against both houses. They both had the same exact circumstances, but what was the difference? One had built their house on the solid rock. In other words, one had built their life upon the solid rock of God's word. So when circumstances come, they don't fall. They don't falter. They don't cave in. They don't quit. They don't become despondent or destitute or hopeless. But they allow the Holy Spirit of God to quicken their mortal body, to arise up within them, to stand up big on the inside of them, and to defeat the very circumstances that were sent to defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the storms in life that defeat the person.
Well,
it's how they've built their house, how they've built their life. And God is saying to us today that he is wanting us to build our life upon the solid rock of God, the foundation of his word, to know that, you know what, we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we don't have to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We're going to pick up right here where we left off next week, and we're going to go into talking about
very nice
casting our cares and not living in worry and anxiety, but trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Thank you, Lord, for your word, God, that it doesn't return void. Thank you that you are building us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Thank you so much. Success to you and success to the kingdom of God. And remember, do not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Apply it to your life, and you will see fruit. Fruit that will remain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo, good job.
Thank you.